heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Truth be told, I'm surprised that it took this long before Americans started getting a little restless. I expected this was going to happen. I just thought it would happen sooner than now. In fact, I've actually commented on this on air. You may have heard me say that how surprised or and actually complimented a lot of Americans that they were holding true to, you know, what the president had put out there. Their guidelines, I think they call it, for this pandemic. Well, I think that that clock appears to be expiring. I think the time is expiring and people are starting to get restless. Now, there's other things happening here. You know, we've been talking about depression, suicide. People are just, you know, even domestic abuse, I understand, is up. I mean, these things are actually escalating. And I suspect they're going to continue to do that as you're locking people to this magnitude. They're being locked into their homes and in confined areas, and you really can't get out much if you follow their guidelines, that is. A lot of people are breaking those guidelines now. Now, you see the president come out with his plan to get America back, to get the economy back working, and to bring America back. But, you know, friends, I'm getting a funny feeling. I'm getting a little suspicious, and I've been seeing it build, you know, over a period of days, if not the last couple of weeks. And it's this. Here's my suspicions. There are a lot of people from the left or the far left, or a lot of these socialist Democrats, as I affectionately call them, that are really wanting to keep the government closed. And at first, I really didn't think that that would be the case, that even those people would want to get out and enjoy our liberty. I mean, I have to think that even some of those people, but then again, if you really do the math, what's a socialist? What's a communist? You know, what does that really stand for? I guess it's you really begin to understand why they're, you know, comfortable, maybe is the right word, to leave the government closed, or even more than that, is to make people dependent on the government. It's like, you know, you wouldn't even think that this is a real conversation. I mean, if you said 6 months ago, we'd be having this conversation today. And if I told you 6 months ago, by the way, that the entire country was going to be locked up, locked down, and you'd have all kinds of guidelines, you wouldn't be working, you'd be, you know, home on the sofa, become one of those couch potatoes, maybe, I hope not. But, you know, if I told you that, and like all your restaurants and bars and cafes and everything was closed and businesses were closed, you would have said, Malcolm, you need to check into the nearest crazy house. Right? That's what you would have said. And I probably would have agreed with you. And here we are. Pretty wild, isn't it? Yeah, we find ourselves in a hell of a predicament, all compliments of China. But today's not about China, people. It's about our freedom. It's about our liberties. It's about the protests that are happening from sea to shining sea. And we'll have that conversation today with two really outstanding gentlemen. Dr. Jay Lair will join us and Dr. Baruch Plettner. This should be a great conversation today. Before we bring them on and we really go through this here, I want to set this up and give you the update on what's really going on here, okay? So in Michigan, you've been hearing a lot about Michigan lately. And that's because of the governor, Gretchen Whitmer, who has really, I think she's going to have a tough time in re-election time, I believe. She's picking up a lot of enemies, it seems. And so hundreds there have gathered at the state's capital in Lansing to protest the governor's social distancing mandate. They're calling it American Revolution 2.0, if you will. And you're starting to see this happen in a lot of states, actually. It's not just Whitmer's state there, but it's in Arizona, Mississippi, Illinois, New Jersey, or is it New Jersey? Yeah. Michigan, Virginia, Ohio, North Carolina. And I suspect you'll probably have this in about all 50 states. I'd be surprised if he didn't, if we keep going much longer. So maybe, possibly, it was timely for the president to say, okay. And if you've noticed at those daily press briefings over the last couple of weeks, he's been trying to prime the press, if it's possible, that we'll be doing this. And of course, the press, being as a bunch of morons as they are, you could see them posturing and all the stupid questions they would ask. And you know what's really annoying about those press briefings is they keep asking the same questions. You know, doofus in row number 3 will ask a question, and then doofus in row number 6 will ask the same question. And doofus in row number 9 will ask it again. And I don't know if they keep earplugs in and they don't hear each other, or if they're just plain out idiots. I'm not sure which, but maybe a combination of both of those things, potentially, huh? I mean, that's really the only thing about those press conferences. They kind of drag on and they keep asking the same question. But, you know, again, you've seen that battle go out. The president has drawn some battle lines with the press, even more than normal. And of course, they've been on really high alert, I think the press has. And, you know, we ought to quarantine all them and put maybe that would do America a favor here. I mean, sadly, they're just not bringing anything to the table anymore, except their despair and doom, and the sky has fallen, and the same routine of questions to the president. And why are you opening up this economy? What if we all get sick again? What's going to happen, Mr. President? Mr. President, the hell are you doing here? Can't you keep us all quarantined for the rest of our lives? You know, there's a sheriff in Michigan, Benzie County? In Michigan, Sheriff Ted Shendell. I love his quote. He says, "This is America. The Constitution still matters, you know." Yes, Sheriff Shendell, it still matters. But he actually came out with that. And he and a host of other sheriffs in Michigan, believe it or not, have really confronted the governor, Whitmer, to say, we're not going to abide by your executive orders. Now, she has signed a host of executive orders. And she says this: we've got to make sure that we avoid a second wave at all cost. I love that, at all cost. What does at all cost mean? Till you all commit suicide, till you're all gone crazy, till you all beat each other up, till we've quarantined you till the cows come home. Yeah, what does that really mean? At all cost. At all cost. You know that's a socialist leftist saying that. What the hell else would say that? Yeah, we're going to avoid a second wave at all cost. I don't even like the sound of that. That would be devastating for our economy, she says. Now, she's, again, come under a lot of fire here. She said, so we're going to make decisions based on science. We call it voodoo science is what I call it, leftist voodoo science, and having a real strategic phase in out of our economy when it's appropriate and safe to do so. That's her official message right there. I could finish that and put a comma there and keep talking. You know that in a hot second. Safe to do so. And until I say to do so, you hear me? I mean, a lot of these people are becoming dictators. Well, they were always dictators, but they're just not, like everything else in America, it's all out of the closet now, you see? So now they're all coming out of the closet because they have an invitation to do so. Because, friends, we have a pandemic here. We have a quarantine. This is historical. It's a historical moment where all the lefty crazies can come out of the closet and be the dictator in charge of their little fiefdoms. You know, yeah, those little communities you all elected the left to run. Maybe you'll change your mind here in the next rounds of elections, I hope. You know, I think this is going to be actually a really interesting point I want to make with you all right now. I think it's fascinating as hell. I'll tell you this. I love this. Now, follow me on this strategy here. So for a couple of weeks, the president has been confronting the media back and forth, right? They've had this confrontation, because it's been going on for, you know, 3.5 years now plus. But you know what I mean, at those daily press briefings. And it's ironic because the president has been pulling them along. And the president said there this past week, you might have caught some of that when he says, well, yeah, the buck stops here with the president. I have the authority to do X, Y, and Z. Well, the press, their eyeballs popped out of their head like 3 times the size. You've seen them all in the press briefings, in the doofus one in row 2, 4, and 9. Yep, they all did that. And you can see them having a heart attack, yeah? Well, and the president was saying, well, yeah, of course. Well, Mr. President, are you going to fight with your states? Well, Mr. President, what about those governors? Mr. President, I mean, this is really what's been going on routinely. Mr. President! And, you know, and so it's just back and forth, back and forth. And so now we get ready for the moment. Here's the economic plan to open up the country. And we're all watching that press briefing on Thursday. We're all waiting there with bated breath, and we're all waiting on the waiting for the president to become that little dictator that they've all said he's going to be from the beginning. You know, who didn't want to do the Defense Act, who has stopped from doing all the things they suggested he do and lock us all up. And all of a sudden, the president does exactly what the president is famous for, does a complete 180 and throws them all in the tank. And they are sitting there, you know, with their hands on their asses, and they don't know what to do with it. No kidding. It's hysterical. Absolutely. It was worth the price of admission. I mean, the president came out and said, he said, well, no, we're going to leave it to the governors. And I think the governor's going to do a fine job. And we're talking with the governors every day. And the press is dying. I mean, they're literally peeing their pants, people. I'm telling you. What do you mean? You're getting along with the governors? No, come on. You can't be getting along with the governors. No way. I mean, they're tripping. They are absolutely tripping. You know, you can't be getting along with the governors. President Trump, come on. What the hell are you doing to us? And so his plan to get America back to work was pretty straightforward. Here's the guidelines. We use Frick and Frack, you know, Burks and Fauci, you know, Frick and Frack there. And we use the rest of the medical team here and the task force. And I think he knows where the enemies and friends are. Again, the president's playing that 10-level chess I tell you about all the time. And it is really a bit humorous. And so he says, yeah, you know. And we'll just help them out when they need help. And we got all those ventilators. We got a lot of money. We just print more of that up with the Fed. Everything's good here. Well, the press had a heart attack. You know, you mean you're not going to pull rank and tell the governors to shut the hell up and sit down? The president said, no, there's the guidelines. We'll be here to help them along if they need it. I suspect everything's going to go swimmingly smooth. And, of course, you got another 50 rounds of questions from the press. Same questions again, ad nauseum, because that's all they know how to do. Anyways, you get the picture. So what's going to be interesting, people, here's the quandary I want to throw at you today. And there's a lot to talk about. And I'm pretty juiced and wound up, as you can see here. But here's the deal. I think what's going to be interesting as hell, here is a real lesson. I think it's a historical lesson of all time for America that we will be seeing in the weeks ahead. And you know what that is? That's going to be as America now sees all of these little fiefdoms across from sea to shining sea, and these little dictators in charge come out, and as they continue signing all of their executive orders, I think you're going to find Americans are going to kick back, and they're going to kick back hard. And you ain't seen the top of these protests. In fact, I'd venture a guess to say you may even find a lot of Democrats at the gun shop getting some of those ammunition, by the way. You may even find that happening. Wouldn't that be ironic, huh? In which case, friends, hold on to your hat, because election 2020 is going to be a hell of a ride, for sure. But I think it's going to be a lesson for America now to see what really happens as all these little dictators come out and play their games as Americans, and even those in the, definitely those in the center and the moderates and the blue dogs, they're not going to have any part of it. Now, the rest of them that are brainwashed and are playing the game with them, well, those people may even come to their senses at some point. Although, friends, truth be told, I don't know what the hell it would take for some of those people, because they've been brainwashed through the entire school system to where we find ourselves today. Freedom in America. It's a beautiful thing, friends. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
What if a new treatment, backed by 17,000 scientific articles, was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
There's an interesting story out from New York Times reporter Alex Berenson. You know who I'm speaking about. He's the former New York Times reporter now, and he's been quite outspoken about this, been part of the growing movement, if you will, of loud voices. I like that, loud voices, out loud voices, right? Loud voices that are questioning the strategy to lock down the large sections of the country in response to this coronavirus, or the affectionately called China virus crisis, in warning that the big pivot in rhetoric from politicians and health officials pushing the strategy. So he talks about a big pivot. I want to talk to you about that big pivot. Let's do that now, friends, and let's bring on Dr. Jay Lehrer is here. He's a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition and former science director of the Heartland Institute. He's a weekly columnist and commentator voice here at America Out Loud. Dr. Baruch Plettner joins us. He holds advanced degrees in aerospace engineering and business administration, author of many interesting publications and patents. He is a new weekly columnist here, we are proud to say, at America Out Loud. And very shortly, soon ahead, we will be announcing his own program and show on the network here. Excited, because we've been following and with Baruch's been on as occasional commentator over the past couple of years, but it's exciting to have him here, part of the team here. So I'll talk about this big pivot, guys, here. And this is interesting. Let me keep following this thread here. Allow me to do that with this Alex Berenson, please, the former New York Times reporter. So he says, yeah, the public health folks, after a month of promising that within 2 weeks we'd be near collapse, they're now making the big pivot to the second wave. He tweeted this out now, referring to a new talking point he argues that will be used to justify continued restrictions. Now, this is the former New York Times reporter saying this. He said, I think people haven't understood that this isn't about the next couple of weeks. It's about the next 2 years. And he gets into this pivot, Jay, where he's talking about, again, these little dictators and their fiefdoms are coming out and wanting to, you know, control things. And now they've gone from flattening the curve. You remember it all started, Jay, with flattening the curve for 2 weeks. We're just going to do a 2 week pause for the country. We're going to flatten that curve and y'all keep your asses home and we'll get over this curve and then we can open up the whole thing again. And now he's saying, Burns is saying, well, that's not the case. They're now looking to expand this thing out there, this extreme social distancing, flattening the curve. And like he said right here, this wave of closures and mandatory government restrictions would have been unfathomable to Americans just a few months ago, as I just said that, Jay. But now it's like everyday life for these people. So what do you think about the pivot he talks about? This, I like the way he puts that, where he calls it the pivot, where the politicians are pivoting. Are they doing that, you think, or what?
Well, I don't think there's any question they're doing it, but you nailed it a few minutes ago. What we are seeing is socialism coming out of the closet. The vast majority of people that seek public office, they are looking for power. And the only political system you can have serious power in is socialism and communism. Their goal is to run the lives of 100% of all the people in their nation, country, state, city, whatever. And we're now seeing it. And your point you made a few moments ago that we're going to see even Democrats or let's say moderate liberals realize they do not like their lives run by the government. They're seeing the mathematical models be wrong every day. Every single prediction has been entirely wrong. So they're having less and less trust for the government now. And we're seeing these demonstrations all over the country and will continue. I'm an optimist, and I think that when we get out of this, and whether it takes 2 months or 2 years, we'll be a stronger nation because an entire generation that has been educated in government schools and never taught how bad socialism was, never were shown what happens in China and Cuba and Venezuela and previously in Russia. They're now seeing a glimpse of it themselves. And Americans have still a special spirit, different than most of the rest of the world. And we will learn from it. We will be hurt by it. Clearly, this the economic damage is going to take a couple of years to recover. The government's printing money. We're bound to have some inflation from it. But I think it's the uprising that you described that we're seeing all over the country, eventually in every state, that we're going to come out of this much smarter than we were. And while they have a foothold, they're no longer flattening the curve for a few weeks. They're having a far, far bigger view of instituting socialism. The nation as a whole is not going to stand for it. Trump is going to win re-election in a landslide, and very slowly we will get back to normal.
You know, Jay, in a really weird sort of way, this pandemic could be the blessing of our lifetimes. You know that.
Malcolm, I think very definitely it is. I simply would have recommended something less egregious for going through, but it is going to be a blessing. We've been on a downward spiral towards socialism. There were jokes 20 years ago that Russia and the United States were passing in the night on trains going in opposite direction, Russia becoming more capitalist and the United States becoming more socialist. And I think that definitely was occurring. That's going to end in the coming months.
Yeah. Baruch, it is a very interesting way to look at this thing when we talk about the fact, because let's say this, for instance, this did not happen, Baruch. Let's say there's been such a shift where the Democrat Party is no longer gone. They're now the Socialist Democrat Party of America. And where socialism, as you and I've talked about before on air, Baruch, where it's just normal conversation now. And had this never happened, and the movement of the generation that didn't learn those lessons, as Jay was just talking about, through the school system, through the public school system, public education, then there was always a risk that these people were going to buy into the free everything program that has been preached out there. And God forbid, even though many of us were optimistic that conservative minds would pull it back, wouldn't that have been a moment in time for this country? So possibly, maybe we saved that pain. You know, we went through this pain. But maybe there is this amazing, well, it's more than a silver lining, Baruch. This would be incredible, really, when you look at it this way, you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what's happening from a couple of different perspectives. The kind of the in for socialists up until now has always been a matter of, you know, more equality in financial outcomes, you know, wage gaps between the CEO and the regular, you know, employee. And, you know, do you really need, you know, billions of dollars? Now, strangely enough, all the socialists who say that are rich people and they're in no hurry to give away their riches, you know, if you look at all of them from Bernie Sanders through, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the rest of them. So, of course, they're damn hypocrites, but they've always been pushing that, you know, financial aspect. But with this virus now, they've changed into a different aspect, and it has also existed in the past, and that's the safety aspect. So if you look at, you know, historically over the past, let's say, even 100 years, but that on an escalating scale, socialists in America, I'm talking about, introduced more and more safety regulations. So you're talking about, you know, OSHA and wearing helmets, and don't go outside, you know, don't let your kids outside on a bike without a helmet, don't, you know, this and that. And that's a very feminine thing. And that kind of coincided with the rise of women in American politics and the rise of suburban soccer moms as a huge political force, because from the evolutionary perspective, the female will do the at all costs thing. When you were talking about Gretchen Whitmer, when she said at all costs we must, you know, prevent that second wave, that's a very female thing to say, because a woman will protect her children at all costs, right? Now, and by the way, this resonates with women, which is a political danger to Trump, because women, I know women resonate with that message. You know, men and women have totally different approaches to this. Men say, hey, you know what? Enough with this. We got to go about our business. We'll accept some risk. But women say, no, you know, we will not accept any risk, which of course is a ridiculous
position. When it comes to life and death, you're probably right, Baruch. But what about conservative women? I interest in line where you're at right now. Do you think, you know, I mean, what about conservative women? I know a lot of women I'm thinking on the conservative rank that would say, no way.
That's the real question, right? I mean, I think that that's where the battle lines will be drawn between, you know, Trump and Biden, even though how somebody with that kind of brain function can be running for president is another question. The suburban women will decide this election because the men are in Trump's court. But suburban women, how they will see this issue of taking on the risk, that, mm-hmm. that will be a very, very decisive aspect. Now, as to your question, though, I do agree that if, you know, they tried the whole, you know, money thing, the financial outcomes and all of that kind of stuff, and that really didn't quite get them all the way where they wanted to go. Now they're trying this whole safety thing, or, you know, they're putting that, they always tried it, but it was always kind of in the background. Now they're trying to put in the foreground. Whether it will work for them or not, I don't know, but if it doesn't work for them, if they fail with this approach, mm-hmm. I think that socialism will take a step back, luckily for all of us, and hopefully we'll have that, you know, silver lining that you guys were talking about.
Yeah. Well, in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo says, and I quote, "Before we start to relax, there is some troubling news about a second wave. Now, we don't want the same thing to happen twice," he says. This Berenson dude, the former New York Times reporter, he says, "It is worth remembering in the United States outside of New York and possibly New Orleans and Detroit, okay, there has been no first wave. There has barely even been ripples. That's why the hospitals are empty." He had tweeted that out. And you know, Jay, part of the problem is, or part of the real, it's not actually a problem, it's a good thing, but many of the hospitals are empty. And I've seen a lot of people get out of these hospitals with video cameras even and try to record them. And then they pass those pictures and videos around to say, this is a conspiracy. There is no virus happening, people. You've all been had. I mean, there's a ton of that stuff out there on the streets. And a lot of the young people are buying into that as well. Do you see the problem?
Yes, I do, Malcolm. And they really cannot succeed because while they're grasping at straws, they're getting rid of the flattening and going on to the second wave. Within a year, I predict, not 18 months, there will be a vaccine. It will be produced in the tens of millions. We will all be vaccinated just like we were for so many diseases in our childhood. And this thing will go away. And they're not going to be able to redo it. I mean, you're so right that they're holding on to this as the way to really ultimately take charge of our lives and install a socialist government. But they're not going to be able to do it because we have too many scientists that are working toward an answer. I think that everything is going to slow down in 3 months. I'm in a baseball tournament in Cooperstown on the 4th of August for a week. I'm pretty confident I'm going to get there. I think most sports are going to resume by the fall. And this second wave, they're not going to be able to keep us in a state of fear, especially with what you just said. There are pockets of the country that are experiencing nothing but empty beds in hospitals. So it's a last gasp, really, to get rid of Trump. They aren't going to get rid of Trump. We're in trouble. They've hurt the economy. I heard Rush Limbaugh yesterday sadly say that everything that Trump has done in his 4 years economically is all gone now. I think Rush was totally wrong about that. It's only gone temporarily. We will bounce back. We'll get very close to where we were before it all started. It may take, the quickest would be 18 months. I think 3 years is reasonable, maybe beyond that. But historically, everything is on our side.
You got to remember, this president is a complete optimist. And of course, that drives the press crazy as well, Jay. The fact that the president is such an optimist, they go bananas with that. What do you mean you're an optimist? You know, they just can't stand any of that. But the president has actually said, Trump has said, listen, we're not just going to get what we had back. We're going to actually build it. I think it's going to even be bigger and better than it's ever been, which also drives them crazy, Jay, huh?
It does, and I think he's right. And it particularly will resonate with the young people who's a whole generation lost to a socialist school system. They will begin to see things better and better, and they will be able to look back 5 years from now and say, you know, Trump was right. We're back to where we were, and there are even things now that are better. Believe me, there is a silver lining here. We've suffered. It'll be some years before we can look back and say, was the suffering worthwhile? I'm not sure what the answer to that is, but in my view, it will have been worthwhile.
Yeah, there's a lot of trouble yet ahead. I've been talking about and reporting on for actually weeks and weeks and weeks and months before even the dollars started flowing. I've been talking about this, and that is that the amount of money they're printing up right now, attached to our deficit of 23 plus trillion, just in real dollars there, not to mention all the other costs of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security and all of that. I mean, you add all of these dollars now into this, and I the way they're spending money right now, gentlemen, I mean, I don't know if this thing is going to cost us in real dollars. I mean, the economic damage is going to be, I mean, I don't know what a gazillion looks like, but it's certainly going to be tens of trillions of dollars. But the real dollars that they're spending on all the giveaway money right now, I think is going to come pretty close to 10 trillion at least, probably more than that by the time they're done, on top of the debt we already had. And this is a hell of a deficit. And I don't think anybody has any idea, because they just think the government has an endless supply of money. And nobody's really understanding what this means when it becomes that sort of a percentage of our GDP. Baruch, you see where I'm at on the financial sense? There's really no talking or intelligent voices right now, because they don't have much of a choice. And the real harm here is we were never ready for this. How do you ever be ready? Well, you don't spend yourselves to hell and back and build it. You know, a deficit of the kind of deficit we had here. And that's just compliments of the presidents, Obama, Bush, Clinton, and Bush. Those administrations, and Obama himself did more than all the presidents combined before him. But it's a real problem here. I think our deficit is going to be a price to pay for all this free money, don't you think, Baruch?
Yeah. You know, the free money is a really big problem. And I think that's where there is little difference, between Trump and his opponents, because all of them are politicians, and all of them are unwilling to tell the people the truth. And the truth is that if you cherish your freedom, if you want to be free, you have to be tough, and you have to accept that life will throw you curveballs, and that sometimes things are going to be not that great. And it's your responsibility to be prepared for it. And if you find yourself in times of trouble, the government will not necessarily be able to come to your aid, or not at all will be able to come to your aid. And that is a message that nobody in America, including Trump, is giving, but it's a message that must be given, because the government is now incapable of coming to your aid. It's pretending to come to your aid with money that it doesn't have, that it's making out of thin air, and the bill for that will come due, and not in a very distant future. So I think that that part of it is actually extremely dangerous, and will probably be the real legacy of this.
It is absolutely. Yeah, that's a good way to say it, Baruch. It is absolutely going to be the legacy of all of this. And I know you're not hearing this anywhere, people out there, but you're hearing it here. And I've been telling you this for some time, and I promise you this is not going to be a good thing when this thing, as Baruch was just saying, when it hits the fan, this country's going to feel it, and it's going to be brought to its knees very quickly. And it's the damage of all of this. So what I'm saying, I think, is, this is going to be the real opportune time that American exceptionalism is going to have to show. I mean, we're going to have to showcase that in every way. And I know, you know, Dr. J. Lair would agree with that, being an optimist that he is. You know, I'm an optimist as well, as I think we, most of us are people, but I'm also a realist. And the fact of the matter is, they are printing money up they don't have, as Baruch says. And it's because really, on paper, the country is bankrupt. The only thing the country's not bankrupt for is American ingenuity and inspiration and patriotism. We have a surplus of that from here to kingdom come, rest assured. That's for certain. Like Baruch was just saying, well, we're going to have to make some tough decisions economically. Well, hell yeah. If we want our freedom in the future, we're going to have to do it. If you want to leave freedom to your grandkids, you're going to have to do it. Like it or leave it, people. And you're going to have to pay the price for all these leaders that this country has elected over the past four administrations prior to Trump. It's going to be a price to pay for all that now. The bill is going to come due. And we're going to have to fess up and deal with that in real terms, in real life. But here's the problem. And maybe this is a good thing, again, this pandemic, because it's pulled us to our knees right now in the mercy of God Almighty, where we stand right now and what's happening right this moment. It's a lesson. It's a wake-up call. It's a smack in the head. Call it whatever you want, people. But it's a rude awakening for those who have been sleeping for a while. Now you really need to get involved in the game, you see? Right now, you got, you know, Pelosi and her pirates up there. And Pelosi and her pirates are looting the Treasury. And they're sticking every pet project in the sun in this. And that's why they can't get this last business thing through the Senate and the House. And because they're looting the Treasury on all these pet projects and payoffs. And all that money will trickle back into the Democrat Party so they can keep the borders open to bring the illegals in and corrupt the country more. And socialism will fly high, and this is what these people dream for. You got to wake up those people in San Francisco and tell them to get out there and stop stepping in the pile of shit and the needles that are out on the sidewalk and wake the hell up. It's time to do that, people, if you're going to get Pelosi and her pirates out of there. And hopefully Schumer can leave as well. Wow, it's time for a new day in America, people.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
You You know, one of the things that this COVID-19 has taught all of us is that we have to keep our immune systems healthy. And it really comes back, as you were just listening, to the health of your cells. Now, there's a reason I personally support and promote Healthy Cell, because I started taking it just about 2.5 years ago, and it did wonders for me because it gets into the health of your cells, you see? And that's why we're proud to have it on as a sponsor here and why I personally support it and promote it to you all, because I care about you. I care about your life and your health. And listen, we need to keep our listeners, right? So listen, what you need to do is this. All of our listeners get 20% off their first order. You just use the code OUTLOUD, or just go to healthycell.com/OUTLOUD. Their supplements, daily supplements, or there's a gel. It's all explained on the website there. But the bottom line is, however you do this, please invest in you. Please invest in you. That's the most important thing right now, because your immune system is most important. Even with an attack like this and a pandemic, those who don't have a good immune system are very susceptible to getting this virus, and it will kill you. And there are other viruses to come yet ahead. I hope not like this, people, but we never really know what's lurking around the corner, do we now? Again, take care of you. HealthyCell.com/OUTLOUD. Get Healthy Cell. Get it in there. As well, we continue the fight forward back at AmericaOutLoud.com. It's all back there, all the articles and talk radio, podcast, video. It's right at the top of the platform. We tell you there. It's a daily resource for smart people, right? We take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. That really is the message here, the underlying message of all of this, people. Well, let's get back here with Dr. Jay Lehrer, Dr. Baruch Plettner, and continue on with the conversation. And so, Jay, one of the problems I'm thinking that I just addressed with you all and with listeners before the pause there was basically that they're spending like, Pelosi and her pirates are looting the treasury, is what I would say to you. And they genuinely are doing that. And they continue to do that. So the concern is getting them out of office, number one. But right now, they're trying to get these other business bills approved so the money can get out to small business in America. And the Democrats are refusing to do that because they want more pet projects in there. Nancy calls it negotiating as she sits there and eats her ice cream by her double stainless steel refrigerators on the James Corden show. This is her version of, suffering in America here. Well, I'll tell you, she really gets under our skin, doesn't she, Jay? Huh?
She does, and I'm reasonably confident we're going to throw her out in the next election and have a very good chance of winning back the House, because a lot of regular folks are seeing what you just said. They're looting the Treasury for opportunities that have nothing to do with the pandemic. So I think they're losing a lot of objective people. But there's no question, as Baruch said, we have to have inflation. You can't go around printing money without devaluing what the money is worth. That will happen, but the world has gone through many inflations. We'll get through it. But the biggest point you're missing in this entire socialist attack on the entire world is that I know dozens upon dozens of people who are out of work, locked in their houses, and I don't know anyone who likes it. People are really learning the value of work, the value of being productive every day of their lives, beyond maybe doing a few jobs around the house that needed done. I think we're teaching people how important work is, and that the whole concept of unemployment or sitting on a couch and getting a check from the government is going to take a very big hit after this. We're going to be more resilient. We're going to be more of an exceptional country than we've ever been before.
Yeah, no, I have confidence and faith in what you're saying is accurate. And I do believe in the American spirit like nobody's business, Jay. I mean, you and I have that absolutely in common. In fact, I would venture to say probably a lot of our listeners. I mean, listen, most of our listeners are optimists and they definitely love America. We don't get any really socialist communists tuning in here. You understand, to hear the word Malcolm's word of the day. It doesn't really happen much. Although I do invite our moderates and blue dogs in and independents all the time. You know, Baruch, there's an interesting article on the platform at AmericaOutLoud.com from our CIA analyst, Del Wilbur. And it's entitled, Either Lead, Follow, or get the hell out of the way, is what Dell says there. And I'm going to read this to you and have you comment on it, Baruch. He says here, it's also completely irresponsible to keep an entire nation's economy and workforce shut down because of some of our larger metropolitan areas still experiencing ongoing infection problems. I'm not at all referring to the completely legitimate protests that have recently taken place in Michigan and other communities, he says. Those protests need to continue until the state and local governments finally get the message that Americans yearn to be free, to make our own choices and not be subjected to what in many cases seem to be arbitrary orders. You simply don't punish an entire state or population when the problem is primarily isolated to a specific locale. Talk to me about that. Then I want to talk to you about an article you'll have going up this weekend, which we'll tell folks about in just a moment here. But what do you think about Dell, our CIA guy, and his message there? You agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do agree with it. And I think that it's good that Americans are kind of saying, you know what, there's a limit to what we're going to be tolerating here. And, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to say, you know, no, you know, you're not going to sacrifice our, you know, you're not going to ask us to sacrifice our freedoms to support your agenda of big government and government takeover and, you know, the destruction of small business in America. You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see Americans send back their $1,200 if they don't need it. So if you didn't lose your job, if you didn't lose your job and you don't really need the $1,200, if you are a free person, send it back. Don't take the government handout. You know, in Britain, they used to have that saying, taking the king's shilling. Because when they drafted you or gang-pressed you into service into the British Army or Navy, they would literally give you a coin, a shilling. And I guess it was 1/12 of a pound or I don't know, some such. And it came with a price. Because once you took that shilling, you sold your freedom out. You became substantially a conscript. And I'm talking about for many years. And you were, I guess you could say, enslaved. Well, this is no different. If you take the $1,200, you are selling your freedom out. Think about that. If you don't need it, send it back.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. I wonder if there will be people who will do that. And if they do, I bet there'll be some publicity on it. We may hear some stories like that, actually, where people have done that. I don't know. But clearly, there are people who don't need the $1,200. You're right. And there are those who desperately need it because they, remember, we have a service economy. It's a gig economy. And there are, it's, you know, predominantly service. Mm-hmm. And all these people are hand to mouth. I mean, they may have savings and some of them may not, but they are living off of all these jobs and businesses that are closed right now. There is no income flowing. There's nothing flowing at all.
That's right.
So those people desperately need it. There's no doubt about it. And for that, I say, I get it. And, you know, the fact that this is a mandatory government closure, I have no issue with that at all, people. None. Let me be clear with you. None. They forced the closure of this. And yeah, I know they printed money up, but I'm not suggesting you don't need it. Don't mistake anything I've said here, please. That's not what I'm saying. And what Baruch is saying is not that either. He's saying if you don't need the money, that's a different animal, right, Baruch? That's different. Then send it back, right?
And, yeah, completely. And I'm talking about if you really don't need it.
That's right. Baruch, you have here a fantastic read, and I want to read this opening piece to you, but it's called Choose to Be Free. And it's actually Baruch's first article, his first op-ed, if you will, on America Out Loud. We're proud to say here. You'll read it this weekend, friends, right at AmericaOutLoud.com. It is featured there on the platform. And you say here, to open this up here, Baruch, you say freedom, individual freedom, is a gift from God. We all get it at the moment of conception when he breathes life into us. Nobody, no tyrant, no government, no individual can ever take this gift away from us, no matter how hard they try. No human hand can undo a gift from God, but like all gifts, freedom cannot be thrust upon us. We must make the conscious choice to accept it. So tell us a little bit about that piece. I know you've got a bunch of different tips and beautiful ideas. You've got some great ideas in there. Tell us about the piece, please.
Yeah, so, you know, we live in times where, you know, freedom is definitely under assault. There's no question about it. We're being spied on. our freedoms of association, of speech, of movement are being restricted, and not just with the virus. That has been going on for a long time, and we've been kind of boiled like frogs to kind of accept more and more limitations on our freedom. But we have also been complicit in that, because we have willingly, in many cases, sold out our freedoms. In other words, we captured more of that upside by sacrificing the downside. You cannot be free if you're not willing to take on some risk. You cannot be free if you're accepting limitations, even if those limitations are for your safety, and even if you get money. Well, you're selling your freedom out a little bit at a time. And if you're not willing to do that, then you know there is ways that you can start behaving that will let you recoup some of that. And in my article, I kind of offer some ideas to people about how they can be free even when it's difficult to do so.
Because yeah, some of these ideas you have in here are incredible. I want to share a couple real fast here, but I want to tell listeners as well that you were born in the Soviet Union. And there's more on that at another time. But I mean, I just want you to realize that Baruch understands the word freedom. I mean, listen to this. He was born in the Soviet Union. You hear, not Russia, the Soviet Union. You get the picture of what I'm talking about, people. And there's a whole story behind there. But anyways, some of the tips he says, you got to read this piece. It is quite the read, actually. Stop believing everything you hear. Now, he expands on every one of these ideas, these tips. Accept that freedom does not imply control. Make sure that you are skilled. Join a community. Humans are not pandas. Learn how to defend yourself. Arm yourself. There's a lot of interesting tips here and ideas, and you have to read the piece here, Choose to Be Free there. Now, I was reading about the other articles and stuff that we just talked about a moment ago here, and I was telling you about Del Wilbers. There's something else that, Jay, I want to mention to you about within all of this, and it's the point I would like to end on, actually. And it's an interesting read that is also on the platform right now from one of our very best, George McClellan. George has a really interesting op-ed up there right now called Sustainable Development, We're Still Being Fooled. And he says this, Jay. He says, there is a China virus downturn coming because people are fed up with isolation, media lies, phony computer models, and living in controlled fear. I accept the China virus to be real, maybe, but the panic that accompanies it is media-driven. So Democrat grifters and fraudsters, Pelosi and Schumer, AKA, have enough time to finish looting the Treasury before Americans catch on. The big question remains, is fighting the virus as we are now doing through fear and intimidation worth the destruction of America's economic miracle? By throwing lives of hundreds of millions out of work while disrupting the world's economic and financial system? It's a hell of a question, Jay. And he's talking about globalism here and sustainable development and climate change and all the stuff that you write about and as an expert talk about and preach about. But what do you think about McClellan's comments there and what he says?
Well, I totally agree with everything he has said. Sustainability is actually a socialist concept. They want to keep everything as it is. They want to take no resources from the earth. They want to maintain constancy, really to stop advancement. And that works to the benefit of the socialists that are running every aspect of your lives. I think the virus is real. I think there is no question whatsoever that it might have started as an accident in China, but they very quickly realized that it was a useful tool for them to cripple the rest of the world's economy. You can't trust any number coming out of China. I think things there are still very terrible. But this whole sustainability concept, the way they use climate change, the way they use education, the way they have now used the virus, works against everything that America stands for. I think McClellan is absolutely right in everything he says, and we want people to wake up to this. It doesn't matter if it's our education system, our health system, the entire climate change fraud, the budget lies that are told constantly by the Democratic Socialist Party. It's all part of their strategic plan to destroy capitalism and destroy American exceptionalism. They've made great strides, no question about it. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing. But I think the Chinese virus, which is what it is going to backfire on them. But it may be a couple of years before we can say that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And what Dr. Jay Lehr says there is a comment I've been preaching in previous days, as you may recall, friends, and also I've put it out in the media, but they are not stupid. They know what they're doing. He's exactly right. They're not idiots, people. Okay. I mean, for them to pull off what they pulled off, it really, they have an IQ. And they've gone about the world in a different way. But you remember, these people see the world in a different way than you and I do. They see a different America than you and I do, and certainly one different than Dr. Jay Lehr or Dr. Baruch Plettner sees as well. I knew it would be a great conversation today. It's hard not to be. When you go in to play the baseball game and you have a winning team, you're almost always going to come away with a victory here. So coming on today with Dr. Jay Lehr and Dr. Baruch Plettner, that's easy to say because you know you're going to have a victory when you have that. And really, it reminds me to remind you that we are blessed here at America Out Loud. There is no doubt about it. I tell people every day. It's amazing because the people that are on this mission with us who truly understand the risk and the dangers and the rewards of what is ahead, they understand that it is important that we stand taller to fight for the future generations. That is our responsibility, people. It is what it's our responsibility. And we have a mission. It's a godly mission, and we must fulfill it here. That is really the premise in the driving force behind America Out Loud. And it is the driving force behind Malcolm and this program, The Voice of a Nation. So I always appreciate you being here and being with me and part of the journey. Next time, bring your friends, your moderates, your independents with you so we can help talk to them as well. That's how elections are won in America, people. Those people in the middle space, we want to bring on The Voice of a Nation here. And we will always be respectful of their time as we are of yours. Thank you again for being part of the journey here. We'll see you on the weekend on Viewpoint this Sunday. Great show in line for you there. Friends, it's time to get involved and get loud.